Hey, what's up? It's Dr. Ward. Welcome to this episode of Into the Fix. So last week we talked about mistakes and what to do when you make a mistake. This week I want to talk about your priority and what it is that you want to be your priority in life. So I told you a couple weeks ago that my mother had passed away, and that's sort of old news at this point. But I also told you that at some point I would start sort of revealing a few more details about that sort of as I got, you know, kind of more comfortable and as I sort of felt like there was something to say. So last week we went to a memorial service for my mom, and it was sad, as would be expected. But like most any of these sort of things, they always get you sort of thinking, right? They you're there because you were supposed to be reflecting on the other person's life and what they meant and what they did with their life. But sort of inevitably, you start reflecting back kind of on yourself and your own life and all those sort of things. So I want to tell you a little bit of story about the end of my mom's life, and then I'll sort of circle back to what I was talking about, sort of self-reflecting. So basically, the story that I got kind of goes something like this, which was my mom was doing basically fine overall. She had health problems here and there, a stroke here, a little blood clot here, little things like that, but nothing of any significance, nothing we were concerned about. No, she wasn't on any doctor's watch lists or anything like that. About this time last year, she decided that her and her husband were going to sort of retire full-time-ish and move to Florida. And with technology and all that sort of stuff, he was able to work remotely. She wasn't going to work at all. And they were going to move to Florida, enjoy the warm weather, all that sort of stuff. And so they do. They moved down there. I don't know exactly when it was, but it hasn't been a full year. They're down there, and my mom was loving it. She was... They had moved near some retirement village with a bunch of other old people like her, people who were retired, but people, you know, who weren't necessarily sort of like in nursing home quality. They were like still active and things like that. They were just a little bit older. And so she was loving that. She'd go to little, you know, aerobics dance classes and aerobics swimming pool, whatever the heck it is, right? And had a little golf cart and would sort of cruise around, hello, hey, Sally, hey, Nancy, all this sort of stuff, right? And I would say that truthfully, it was probably one of the happiest I had seen my mom sort of in her life, you know, sort of free of the burden of raising kids, free of the burden of like a lot of the problems of life. She just sort of was enjoying the last quote unquote years of her life. All of this leads up then to what is sort of we now know is kind of her last day on earth, right? But here's what's interesting. My mom had been in and out of sort of religion kind of throughout her life, as were we. So there were periods where we'd sort of be into church and we'd go, and then there were periods where we sort of weren't into church and we didn't really go too much. But as my mom got older, especially sort of like I'd say in the last maybe 10 years, she became much more sort of devout. And it really was a place that she began to feel accepted, where she felt, you know, that she had gotten the redemption she was looking for, or whatever that might mean. She had developed a social network, and all that then sort of translated down when she went to Florida too. So she had a church down there, and she's, you know, was socially involved with people down there and was involved in ministry things down there with teen pregnancy, stuff like that. I say all that to say, so the morning when my mom passes away, she wakes up, she goes to church, she enjoys her church service, she does her thing, she, you know, waves at Sally and Nancy and all that sort of stuff. So she drives home, her husband comes home not too long afterwards, and she's basically sort of unresponsive, and that then is sort of the way she remains until she passes away. Now, on its face, you know, it's kind of sad. You know, she went to church and she came home and she was unresponsive, blah, 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 blah. But here's the part I started thinking about. Here's the part I started reflecting on as I was in the memorial service. And this didn't have anything to do with me, but here's what I started reflecting on. Although things might have been a bit tenuous with my mom and sort of her feelings towards religion when she was younger, she was pretty rock solid as she got old. I wouldn't necessarily say I agree with her religious beliefs, but I would say for her, they were very important and they were something she was very devoted to. And so I started thinking about this. I'm not sure how much cognition she had after she had her stroke. The doctors might say she had some. Her husband probably would tell you she had a lot because he, you know, believes that she was listening to him when he was talking to her and stuff. I'm not sure I believe any of that sort of stuff, I'll be honest with you. Having been to the hospital, having seen sort of the condition she was in, I don't think anything was getting through. Now, it doesn't really matter to me that much. So like, you know, don't DM me and tell me how wrong I am because I really don't care. It's not that important to me. The point is this. I don't think she was receiving much information. In my mind, I imagine the last thing my mom truly remembers is going to church. Now, she may have some like memory sort of like kind of like dreamlike sort of things of us talking to her, things like that. But the last thing I think that she truly remembered doing, like the way she remembered life, was going to church. And that her last 3 hours on this planet consisted of her waking up, going to church, seeing people she felt connected to, being uplifted through her religion. Now, for me personally, That is not how I want to spend my final 3 hours of life. Sitting in a church, listening to church stuff, that would not be for me. But for her, I couldn't write a better ending. For somebody who's devout about religion, for somebody who prioritizes religion like that, to have your last memories be of going to church is probably about as good as it gets for some people. Again, not me, but I imagine for some people, that would be a great morning. I woke up in the morning, I got to go sing songs to God, and then I died and I went to see him in person. Or so the story goes. My question is this. If you knew your time was limited, if you knew you had 2 or 3 hours, what would you want to be doing when it ended? And I don't mean the whole like, well, you know, if I had 24 hours, I'd get a, you know, handful of $100 bills and go to the strip club. I'm not talking about that kind of like, oh, if I had an hour, you know, 24 hours to live. I'm not talking about that because my mom didn't know she was going to die. So she didn't plan to go to church because she was going to die afterwards. She didn't do that. She went to church because it was something so important to her that she would have been doing that anyways. It just so happened that the thing that she enjoyed doing the most was the last thing she did. And so if the formula is I want to be doing the thing that's most important to me when I die, my question for you is this. What would that be? Because all the jokes aside about I'd go to a strip club or I'd go to a bar or I'd go to a casino or whatever, they're just jokes. It's just bullshit humor stuff that I personally happen to enjoy. But it's just bullshit humor. That's not what anybody actually means. And so my question for you is this. If you want to be doing the thing that's most important to you when you die, what would that be? Being with your family, being with your friends, being with your kids, being with your extended family. It doesn't matter what it is. Question is, what would that thing be? And what are you doing now to put yourself in a position to have that be the last thing you're doing? Because if you say, you know, the last thing I want to be doing is spending time with my family, but you're barely spending time with your family now, you're probably not going to do it. If you say the last thing you want to do is be doing charity for other people, but you're not doing any charity now, probably not going to be doing it. The point is, if I want something to epitomize the end of my life, I should be doing it at all stages of my life. That doesn't apply to everything. My mom wasn't devout to religion her entire life, so I kind of poked a hole in my own argument. But the point still remains. I can't be doing something in the end if I'm not doing it now. So what would that be? What would that be for you? Maybe it's what you want to be remembered by. Maybe it's just what you want to be doing as your time comes to an end. But what would that be? Because ultimately, we can't control when we leave this planet. But we can control what we're doing while we're here. And the question for me, and I think the question for you, should be, am I using my time in a way that I want to be using my time? Doesn't matter if anybody else agrees with it. Am I doing what I want to be doing with my time? Because that's all we can ask, is that we use our time in a way that we think is best for us and the people around us. So that's it for me. That's it for this episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Into The Fix. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, I have a private pay practice in Sewickley. Information for that can be found at andrewwardphd.com. This is Dr. Ward. I'll talk to you again next time.